Hello and welcome to another episode of Spiritual Success, where I'm going to be talking to a very interesting individual called Marley Rose Harris. Now, she has created a full-time online business and has been traveling the world for years, recently landing in Cape Town. So I resonated a lot with her because I have also just done the digital nomad thing for a year and a half, and I know the reality of it. I have also just signed a year-long lease pretty much at the same time that she has done the same thing in South Africa. So we felt very in tune and there was a lot of similarity in our journey. So we're going to talk a lot about manifesting, energy. She also has an incredible story around healing, which is very, very powerful indeed. And she talks about how it's actually healing and pushing through her limits and dealing with all the uncomfortable things she didn't want to face within herself that actually allowed her to become a clear vessel for her manifestations. So we'll talk about being a digital nomad, traveling the world with a full-time online business, as well as some manifesting and energy pieces thrown in there as well. If you've been thinking about doing the digital nomad dream, then definitely give this one a listen because it will take you behind the scenes of what it can really be like traveling the world full time with your laptop, running a business that you love. Welcome to the Spiritual Success Podcast with me, Liz Roberta, a Hay House author and spiritual life and business coach. I'm here to help you harness your inner world as an entrepreneur so that you can unleash your full power and profits, taking you behind the scenes of your business and giving you everything you need to make energy a key part of your strategy for success. It's completely possible to have clarity, inner peace, and balance as you climb the ladder to 6 and 7 figures in your solo business. So let me show you how as we dive into another episode of Spiritual Success. Hi, Marley.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
So happy to have you in a beautiful Cape Town. How are you finding it over there?
Well, I was just saying off air, like, it's literally heaven on earth. I actually, like, cry every day how much I love it. Today is slightly cold, so I've been literally freezing, like, running around the house trying to, like, jumping jacks. But besides that, it's definitely, I just call it heaven on earth. It's the most magical place I've ever been by far.
Have you done any safaris yet?
Yes, I did. I did one in April, and it was actually life-changing for me. I feel like coming from Canada, going on a safari is just like the most exotic thing I could think of. And seeing the animals and being among the people there and just experiencing that actually like changed my life. I went alone and I do these things every quarter called Think Weekends where I just completely shut off. I'll book a trip and it's my time to like reflect on the quarter, reflect on what went well, what didn't go well, what I want to do in business for the next quarter. And it's just like my thinking time. I just, again, completely disconnect. And so I went on a safari and did my Think Weekend. And I feel like after that weekend, I was forever changed. I actually had my team meeting after and I was like, we're changing everything. Like, everyone's like, what happened to you? But yeah, I feel like it changed my timeline for sure. It was so magical.
Wow. Have you looked at your astrocartography for South Africa?
I have tried to look at it. I think there's something there, but I used to live in Bali, and when I lived in Bali, I did a whole reading and it read my everything about Bali. So I haven't fully dived into South Africa, but a lot of healers and mentors that I was talking to before I came to South Africa was like, you must go there. You must go there. You must go there. And it was the weirdest thing. Like everywhere I'd go, people would be like, Cape Town, Cape Town. Random people I'd meet, they'd be like, you must go to Cape Town. And I'm like, okay, I hear it once. I hear it twice. It's like after the 7th time, I'm like, okay, I got it. I got it. I'm going.
I moved to Glastonbury like that, just on a whim. I had never heard of it. And then I just kept hearing it and seeing it in books over and over again. So I literally booked a viewing for a flat, drove down, went to see the flat, said yes, walked around the local area, was like, okay, we're moving. Just like, you've just got to follow the nudges and the signs. But yes. I love Africa. It's so amazing. I actually had some big moments there as well. I went cage diving with great whites and I had a massive, massive fear of them, which is why I did it. And then I met them and I was like, oh, they're just big fish. And they were just so chill. They were really peaceful and graceful, actually. And they couldn't have cared less that we were there. So I saw them totally differently after that. I also had a massive spider. I was in the shower. We're in this beautiful Airbnb. We were driving along the garden route, me and my husband. Mm-hmm. We were just outside Port Elizabeth. And I was having a shower. And then I saw this huge huntsman spider in the blinds. So its big legs were kind of coming out of the wooden slats. And I was like, oh my effing God. And I was like, right, my clothes were in a pile underneath it, by the way, underneath this window. So I was like, right, I'll just finish my shower, went down to shave my legs, looked up. It was like a horror film. It wasn't there anymore. And I was like, oh my God. So I went out, got my husband, but it was this huge huntsman spider. And then again, when I met that spider, it was so scared of us. And I was like, wow, all this time I've been scared of spiders. And actually, they're so much more scared of us. And then I looked them up and they actually don't attack people. They only bite if they're provoked. Anyway, tangent. But South Africa was really, really powerful for me, actually, when I think back. It made me face a lot of my fears. So yeah, very, very activating place. But you're not from there originally. You're from Canada. So
yes.
How did this all begin for you? And how long have you been traveling?
Yeah, so I want to say one point is in South Africa, in Cape Town, there's a mountain called Table Mountain, and it's known as the heart chakra of the world. And so actually the same thing happened to me in a different sense of like having to face my fears in terms of like setting boundaries, knowing my self-worth, stepping into deep self-love and deep self-trust. So it was like I totally had the same thing as well. It was just like in a different storyline, which I think is very interesting. And I find that anyone who comes here, it just, you move at a different speed. I feel like we call it like Mama Cape Town. She like holds you. She's like a loving parent, but she's like, go, like you, like here, you got to figure it out. Like here's the test. But then it's like, she also just like loves you so much and like is like, it's going to be okay. So yeah, if anyone wants massive transformation, come to Cape Town because it will put you in the ringer in the best way possible. So yeah, I could do a whole podcast episode on Cape Town. So yeah, so originally I'm from Canada. And I guess, honestly, growing up in Canada, I just always dreamt and visioned and dreamed of living in sunshine, living in LA, living in Australia, just like dreaming of the day where I could have sunshine all year round. Because I'm like a plant. I thrive in the sun. I thrive in the being in water. I just found anytime I was on vacation, my skin cleared, my digestion optimized. I just was my happiest, best self. And I just was like, why would I live in a place that isn't in alignment with me when I could be living in all these other beautiful places? And that's really what sparked my entrepreneurial journey, because the intention was to create a business that gave me time, location, financial freedom, so I could live from anywhere in the world, work from my laptop, travel the world. And so my first business was completely with the intention of just having location freedom. And so once I built that business, which was designing websites and logos and brands for businesses, it gave me permission to move. And my first move was to Australia. And that was the year of 2018. I booked a one-way flight. I actually, though, booked a one-way flight to Bali. And then my intention was to move to Australia. But then I actually fell in love with Bali. And since 2018, I have not, I went back to Canada once. Twice actually, but in all those years I've been traveling and living abroad, living from a suitcase. And obviously the pandemic put a small damper in the traveling situation, but I was still living abroad and traveling, running my business, and I've never looked back since. This is, but just now after all these years was the first year. It was kind of like during February, March, I was like, okay, I'm a little bit burnt out from living from a suitcase. I really want to have a closet, and I want to have a consistent morning routine, and I want to have communities that I develop friendships like over years, because I would make all these amazing friends and they're like, bye, I'm leaving to this country or this country. And I just felt so burnt out from it and I was exhausted. So at the beginning of the year, the minute I found Cape Town, honestly, admittedly, I never found a place I actually want to live. I was just like, okay, I don't think I'm from this planet, because everywhere I go, I like can't see myself living there. I loved it, but I was like, I don't want to live here. I can't see, until I came to Cape Town and I was like, oh, this is my playground. Like, this is my place. It's just like so beautiful. And so when I came here for the first time in my entire life, I signed a 1-year lease, which felt very scary. But just like you said off air, like ground to grow. And it's just been this most beautiful experience for me in many areas of my life. Like obviously cultivating the business more, being able to lean into the business more. Like it's crazy to me how much I was able to grow a business while traveling the world full time. And so it's so cool that now that I'm grounded to see what actually gets to blossom in the business even more and more and more, and the friendships and the connections and having hobbies, even something so silly of like having like a facial regime, of like being able to go to a facialist like over a couple, it's just like really small things that I didn't realize I was craving so badly. But admittedly, me traveling the world was definitely like a trauma response of like running away. And so when I started to heal and come back to me and come back to myself, I realized actually what I really deeply desired was a home. And so it just happened. Well, no, I don't think anything is coincidence, but as I was doing that deeper work, I found Cape Town, and it just kind of all came together so beautifully. And so I feel so safe here, so grounded, no need to run. It's like I'm chilling, and it's the best, honestly, the best feeling in the world.
I can resonate with so much of what you said. When you said about being solar powered, that's what I say about myself. I always say I'm solar powered. Like in the beginning days of my Instagram, I literally had that in my bio that I'm solar powered. So I'm exactly the same as you. And my mood is completely different. I'm like Jekyll and Hyde, depending on the weather, specifically how gray it is. Like I don't mind cold. I like cold if it's blue skies, but I do really struggle with the gray. So it can completely resonate. And I'm like, why on earth did I choose to incarnate in England? Now, England is amazing, but it is very, very gray. So I'm like, why did I choose to be born here? So yeah, I could totally relate to that. And also needing to get grounded. Like traveling is incredible. And for me, I was in a personal year 5 last year. I don't know if you know about personal numbers, but every year has a different number, like in numerology. So last year for me was a personal year 5. I was traveling the world, getting activated in different ways in each individual place, doing crazy things. I saw whales 3 times in 3 different places last year, dolphins, ayahuasca, just all the things. It was incredible. But then this year, I'm in a personal year 6, which is a much more grounded energy. It's about nurturing and relationships. And that's just totally where I am right now. So I love that you're feeling that stability. And like you said, you can lean into your business so much more. Because it's time consuming traveling. You have to research and book, and then you're packing up for a day and you have to travel across and unpack, get to know where you are, find the supermarket, all this stuff. So it is time consuming. So it's nice to be settled for a while. But what did you do before this? Because for most people, entrepreneurship isn't their first career. So did you have a career before you were an entrepreneur? I know you said you started with doing branding and design, but what did you do before that?
So I have actually never worked a corporate job. I went right in, baby. I was like, this is for me. This is what I want to do. So I'm from a very small town in Northern Ontario. And so when I was at school, when I went home in the summers, like when I was at university, I would work serving. Either you worked in a restaurant or you work in a restaurant. Like there was really no other option. And so what ended up happening is that I just want to make this very clear. I did not want to be an entrepreneur at all. Both of my parents are entrepreneurs. And I was like, hell no. I want benefits. I want a salary. I want consistency. I want the safety of a corporate job. So when I went home for the summer, since there was no corporate opportunities, I was like, oh, well, I live in a tourist town. And so I was like, there's an opportunity here for me to help with like social media and websites and branding, because it's like all mom and pop shops. So I was like, okay, I would love to help them with that. I can implement what I'm learning from school, help them, and then put it on my resume to get a corporate job. Like that was my whole mindset. And so when I went home in the summers, I started doing that. And then I was like, wait, I love this. I love being my own boss. I'm a Capricorn manifesting generator. So it's like, I thrive in like goal setting and achieving and doing these types of things. So it felt so good to me. And so when I graduated from university and it was like, okay, I had the corporate job offer. I got the job, the dream job, the one that I wanted. But I was like, wait, I just realized this is not what I want at all. I want freedom. I want to be able to travel the world. I want to work from my laptop. I want to be my own boss. I want to help others. I want to be in service. I don't want to be told what to do. And so it was a very scary decision to turn down the thing that I thought I wanted my whole life. But my dreams changed. My desires changed. And I got expanded in terms of, like, I didn't even know that was possible. And this was like the beginning of digital nomadism. This is like 2018. So it was like not really talked about. I just kind of saw some people doing it online. I was like, well, if they can do it, so can I. So basically what I did is I started that first business, which was designing logos and websites. And then interchangeably, I also, my side hustle was, you know, being a server and working in restaurants. And so I would work on my business all day long, and then I would go and I would serve and I would earn money, and I would come home and do it all over again. And I did that for a year. And after a year, my business was in a place, like, it was still scary, but I was in a place that I was like, okay, I can sustain myself. And honestly, the amount I was working in the service industry, I noticed was actually like taking away from my business. So I just took a leap of faith of like, okay, I'm just going to trust that this all works out. Again, very much a highlight reel, because I was losing my shit. I was like freaking out. This is so scary. But I'm so happy I made that decision, because now I'm living the life that I so deeply desired and more. If you told me in 2018 this is what it would be like, I would have not even thought twice about making the decision. I actually wouldn't even believe you. That's not even possible. And so, yeah, I went right into entrepreneurship, actually.
Gosh, that's amazing. So how did you learn design and branding and logos? Were you self-taught, or did you go to university? How did that happen?
Completely self-taught. Like, my hairdresser was like, can you design me a website? And I was like, sure. And then I spent like all night like Googling, trying to figure it out. And then she was like, can you design me a logo? And I was like, yeah, sure. Never done it, but I'll figure it out. And then, so it was just very much self-taught, but I was obsessed with it. Like, I loved it so much. You know, when you find a thing that you're like, oh wait, this is cool. And so then I just became obsessed with it. And I've always been a very creative person, and I love designing. I always loved like art and design, but I also loved like working from my computer. So it was a really nice medley of the two. And I would say definitely when I started, I was good at it and I loved it. But after several years, I did recognize that it definitely wasn't my purpose. It was my purpose in the sense of it got me to where I want to go. But then, you know, once I got more clear on my mindset and law of attraction and manifestation, how the world works and running a business, and really starting to connect with, because, you know, once you leave school, it's like, it's on you. It's like, okay, no one's telling me what to do. And so the first time in my life, I just got to learn things because I wanted to. And I started investing my time in me and growing my mindset and my personal development. And then that's when it became very clear to me what my purpose really was. And so that's when I transitioned to this job, this business. Again, another huge leap of faith, because that business that I had started the first, it was making more in a month than that corporate job offer, that salary offered me for a year. So it was like, I don't even know how this happened, but this, I've never even knew this type of, like, that was a yearly salary that was like good. And again, I'm from a very small town. So it was like people were like freaking out that was the salary I got for the year, right? And then so when the business started doing that a month, I was like, what is actually happening here? But really realizing that I would rather take the leap of faith and let go of that first business to do something that actually makes me so fulfilled and of service to others and brings me joy, and maybe earning a little less if that's what that means. I was willing to take that risk. But because of the law of energetic minimums, because I manifested something once and I've already attracted that, you are already an energetic match for that. So in the new business, the money came back almost instantly and way more, because I was in alignment.
So much I want to pick up on. Your design is incredible, by the way. That was what really drew me to you. When I looked at your Instagram page, stunning pictures, I was like, wow, this is good design. And I'm the same as you. I'm a creative, like anything aesthetic, visual balance, like I'm here for it. I absolutely love it. Like creating a sales page and like setting up a program, my favorite part is the design part. I just love it so much. So I can totally resonate there. But also what I want to say is the energy that comes off your page and your branding is also amazing. And you just started talking about energy there. So I want to dive more into this. What kind of work have you done on your energy? Because I know you've had a massive glow up. So can you talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much for that question, because this is something that's so important and I love talking about this. So just for context, I spent most of my life, I would say up until maybe 3 years ago, being very, I don't want to say low energy, but very low self-worth, very low alignment, was a victim, was just unhappy, just really struggling with depression, really struggling with anxiety. And I started dabbling in meditation and learning about laws of the universe, and just like started just like dipping my toe into podcasts and started to like educate myself around, because I didn't know anything about personal development at all. And, you know, I numbed with alcohol, I numbed with, like, just anything that I would like make me feel something, because I was so unhappy. And what happened was, you know, 3 years ago, I was at a place where things started to pick up. You know, I started having my bit, sorry, 4 years ago, you know, I started my own business. I started implementing a little bit of meditation. And then I started to take control of my life in terms of, okay, let's like, what do I want? You know, what do I really want? Because my whole life, I feel like it's like, well, you have to go to school and then you have to learn this, study this in school. And then you have to do it, always being told what I want. And so for the first time in my life, I had the freedom of like, okay, I actually get to choose what I want. And that created a big shift for me. And so I started to start realigning my life and doing things that brought me joy. And I saw success. I started to feel better. I started to look better. I started to take care of my body. And I felt this transformation happening underneath me. And it kind of created this snowball. And then at the beginning of 2019, I lost my dad to suicide. And this moment for me completely changed my life in so many ways, because before that, there was no circumstance that was forcing me to do the deeper work. It was just like, oh, this is fun. And this is like, it just was very blasé. Whereas this experience really made me think, okay, either this can make me or this can break me. And because I had already dabbled in the fact that, okay, there's something bigger than me, and I feel like I'm starting to cultivate my purpose, I'm starting to live life on my own terms, I felt a sense of control or like excitement for life for the first time. And then when this happened, and thank God it happened when it did, because I think if it happened 2 years earlier, it would have completely broken me. Whereas because I had some tools, I decided in that moment of like, I'm not going to let this break me. And so I dove heavily into therapy, heavily like Western and Eastern medicine. So I went to a talk therapist. I started doing Reiki. I was just researching anything to ensure that, and I didn't know anyone who experienced this type of trauma before. So I was actually like, I don't know how to even, grief is an interesting thing. Like there's no rule book to it. And I didn't really know what to do, but I just one day at a time was like, okay, let's heal. And so that really started me on this journey of healing and looking at the parts of me that I didn't want to look at. Why was I numbing? Why was I so depressed? Why did I struggle from anxiety? What were all these things at play that were causing me? And it gave me purpose of, you know, this happened to me. And this is the most painful thing I've ever experienced. It, and I never want to do this to anyone else in my life. I never want to do that to anyone. And so I was like, I'm just going to do the deeper work. So that really set me on this path of understanding, you know, your internal world is a reflection of your external. Sorry, your external world is a reflection of your internal world. And I noticed when I started committing to a consistent morning routine, when I started committing to a consistent evening routine, when I started committing to a consistent gratitude practice, meditation practice, I felt better. And it wasn't overnight, but day over day, I started to feel better. And you know, I wouldn't spend every night crying. I spend like less nights crying. I felt feeling better and better and better. And then I noticed, especially like over like months over months, when I started applying those tools, my business started really taking off. And I started attracting really beautiful, aligned people in my life. And I just started to really understand that the way what you believe to be true about yourself becomes your reality, and learning about the subconscious mind and your reticular activating cortex. And I feel like knowledge is power when you put it into practice. And so I just became really like obsessed in a positive way of like healing. And so now I really just, I love feeling good. Like, it feels so good to feel so good, especially knowing what it feels like to feel so bad. And so now when things may, like, it's not like things when, you know, quote unquote bad things happen, I have the tools now to redirect, to heal, to feel, to see things in a different perspective. And I just noticed that when I rewire my beliefs, when I take care of my body, when I take care of what I put into my body, when I take care of setting boundaries, when I take care of, you know, healing, people pleasing, your entire reality changes and you start attracting and making room for the things that you do desire. So I believe that, you know, I used to believe that you had to feel positive all the time to attract good things. That is actually simply not true. What you attract is your dominant belief and frequency. So if you have a bad day, that doesn't mean that you're going to lose all your money, blah, blah, blah. Like, it doesn't mean you're going to have a bad day in business. You know, I was exhausted yesterday. I was like dragging myself around and I have one of my best sales days. So it's not about how you feel. It's about what you believe to be true in that moment. I think that's also really important to say, because I think a lot of us think a bad thought and we think we can't think it, or we feel we're having a bad day, and then we try to force ourselves out of it because we think if we have a bad day that's going to reflect poorly and we're going to manifest something bad. But that's actually not at all true. What is true is that you manifest what you believe to be true for you. And so have the bad day, lay in bed crying for 3 days. That's actually what's going to make you feel better. You have to feel to heal, and you have to clear and move through the energy to actually get to the other side. And so now I know if I'm having a bad day, it's just every low means there's a high coming, and every high, there's going to be another low. So it's like just understanding the ebbs and flows of life. But I think really connecting to what makes you feel good and choosing that in every single day is what, like, your moments create your days create your weeks create your years. And over time, just like it has for me, your life can look completely different if you commit to you. And if you commit to yourself and show up for yourself every day, I can guarantee you can create a life beyond your wildest dreams. I've seen it happen for myself and my clients.
So powerful. There's a song I'm listening to at the moment that I listened to just before we came on, which is Just a Ride. It's just a ride. It's just a ride. And in that song, I listened to the lyrics and she talks about how sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. It's just a ride. I'm getting full body goosebumps. Like, that's what the song's about. That's what life is about. And I totally agree. What you said about manifesting, if you have a look at some celebrities, they've got millions and millions of dollars. They're beautiful. The world is falling at their feet. They have so many things that they've manifested. Maybe they came from nothing, but that doesn't mean they have perfect mental health. Like, there are some celebrities that have manifested incredible things, but they don't feel good all the time. So I completely believe what you said. I think that your beliefs reflect back to you. And I believe that your outer world is a reflection of your inner world, specifically with regards to what you believe to be true, what you believe to be true to you will manifest and reflect back to you. So totally on the same wavelength there. Very powerful story that you shared. And I also agree that healing is the path to manifesting as well. And I used to run away from so much. I also had that escapism. I wanted to feel good all the time. And actually, instead of helping us to manifest, it can do the opposite. Because actually what we need to do is the deep healing work. We need to purge all the patterns within us energetically, mentally, emotionally, even physically. You know, we may have bad physical patterns of self-sabotage, eating badly, for example, and we need to purge those patterns, and then we become a clearer, more expansive vessel for energy to flow through so that we become more magnetic to miracles in our life. And they're the people who are glowing. They're the people who things just seem to happen for them. It's like the law of assumption. They assume good things are going to happen. They're in a good place because they've done the healing work, and they kind of skip through life very lightly because they drop things along the way. As something comes up, they heal it. They don't hold on to it. We hold on to things and we're trying to avoid them. So all the time we spend running away, we're actually carrying a lot of baggage as we're doing that instead of facing it and doing the deep healing work. So very much resonate with what you said. It's a very similar story to mine as well. So thank you for sharing that. And for anyone listening who's like, okay, I need to do some healing work. What have been the most powerful tools that you found for healing?
By the way, that was so beautifully said. Retweet on all of that. Recently, I mean, I feel like I'm like a subconscious mind guinea pig. I'm like, anything that's going to heal my subconscious mind, I want to know. The most recent modality that I've been using, and definitely the most effective, has been rapid resolution therapy. I don't know if you've heard of it before, but
I was going to ask you if you've done that. Yeah.
So it's a healing modality invented by Dr. John Connolly. And I can't even explain to you because I heard it somewhere and it just resonated deeply. I was like, yes, I need to. I actually just heard of it and I signed up to become a practitioner. It wasn't like, it was just a whole body yes. I don't know what it was about it. I just, my whole higher self was like, we need to do this. And so before I did the course, I was like, well, maybe I should just try a session just to know what I'm getting myself into here. So I went on the website, I found a practitioner that resonated, and I was like, okay, because, you know, my financial reality has changed so much from where I've come from. But no matter how much money I made, I always had this fear that it would go. And it was like hoarding onto it, and I would do crazy things. Like I would go somewhere and I would book like the most affordable place, and my friends would be like, what the hell are you doing? Like, and I would get there, I'd be so miserable because I'm like, oh, this, there's no water or like something like this. And they'd be like, Marley, you can like, and my boyfriend at the time would be like, you can pay for whatever you want. Like, why are you staying here? And it was like this, because I had this belief from childhood, because in childhood we'd have money and go, have money and go, have money and go. And so I booked this session. I was like, hey, there's this belief, like it's kind of, you know, I don't even know how to clear this, but like this. So anyways, it was a 2-hour conversation. I was just, the whole time I was on the edge of my seat, like it was so engaging. It was so good. And the whole time I was like waiting for the therapy to happen. And I was like waiting for some like close my, well, I was like, okay. We even talked about my dad. We did, it was like, and by the end of the call, I was like, she's like, okay, now try to bring up that feeling that you feel, like the anxious attachment to money going. And I swear to you, I couldn't bring it up. Like it didn't compute. And I was like, what? And we also did a healing on my dad, because losing someone to suicide for me personally brought up a lot of guilt and a lot of shame, and I'd been struggling with that as well. And I couldn't bring that up either. And I was just like, it was a magic. And so, and then the next month I doubled my sales and business. I'm my biggest cash month of all time. And so I was like, oh shit. And then I'm like, this is good shit. And so now I'm like very consistent. Anything that comes up, I'm like booking a call. I'm like, let's do this, let's do this. Now I've gotten to a point where I can actually do it on myself, which is super cool. So I don't need to work on deeper things, yes. But RRT has definitely, and you know, I've been using it with I use it obviously with my clients, and seeing the results has been insane. It's like I still actually can't even believe my eyes, like by the end of the call, because every time I'm like, okay, please don't feel it, please don't, like I can't feel it. And I'm like, it's like the most magical healing modality, and it's so fun, it's so easy, it's like joyful, and I have so many good things to say about it. It just, I think everyone needs to be using RRT. It actually really works.
So interesting. Thank you for that. That's something I haven't done yet, but I keep hearing it. And I keep seeing it. So like we said about the locations earlier, I'm actually like, okay, I need to crack on with this. Because I think for me, the most powerful healing modality has been plant medicines. Have you done any plant medicines at all?
I have done psilocybin.
Yes.
I haven't done ayahuasca yet. I know it's in my future, but I haven't been like deeply called yet.
Yeah. There's so many different things as well. Like I've worked with amazing healers, pattern purifiers, like you said, the Western therapy. Mm-hmm. There's so many amazing tools out there. So I love that you shared that. I'm going to have to find someone or call in the right person to explore this more with, I think. So you said that this healing work has definitely helped with your energy. Do you have some top manifestation hacks? Because it seems like you're an incredible manifester. So do you have any advice or tips for the people listening?
Oh, so many, so many. I think tip number one is recognize what you're designed to call in. So let's say you're manifesting a relationship and it hasn't come in yet. The first step is to become aware of how you feel around receiving that manifestation and if there's any objections to receiving it. And I get this question quite often and I'm like, I feel like 99% of what I've manifested has been through just me, my pen, and my journal, like just getting shit done. And really getting clear on why you feel like it's not possible for you. So it's really simply writing out what are my beliefs around manifesting a relationship and say, and ask yourself, why can't I manifest a relationship? And then anything comes after because. So because I'm not good enough, because I don't deserve this, because I never saw my parents have a loving relationship. Like whatever that is, those are the limiting beliefs that are actually holding you back from manifesting that thing. So it's a very simple formula. Like the formula that I teach in Higher Self Method, it's a formula. It's like an algebraic equation of step one, become aware of what your manifestation is. Become aware of what goes on. Because I really like teaching my clients like, okay, this is this is the subconscious mind. This is how this works. So people can it's like reading an instruction manual for your brain. I think it's quite important. Step two is declare. So becoming aware, like so many people I talk to is like, well, what do you want? Well, I don't know. Could you imagine being in an airplane and not even knowing where to land the airplane? I think that would make us all pretty uncomfortable. So declare what you desire. And then when you've made that declaration, how does that make you feel? What are the thoughts that are coming up and the limiting beliefs around why you actually can't have that thing? So let's say you're calling in $10,000 a month in business. How does that actually make you feel? Do you feel like that's a yes step for you? Like when you feel into that, are you like, yes? If it feels like a yes, and if there's no resistance to that in your body, in your mind, then it's just a matter of time. It's already done. And it's just like when we plant a carrot, the duration period, I don't know, let's say to grow a carrot is like 3 weeks. I have no idea. Whereas like we know that a carrot takes 4 weeks to grow once we plant the seed. The only thing that we don't know how long the duration is our manifestations. So it's already a matter of time. And the more you clear the gunk that's in the way of the manifestation, the faster it will come. So getting very clear on what you desire, declaring it, and then rewiring anything that is in the way of the manifestation. And so that is like the only tip you need around manifesting. Like you can do anything, all the things, but if you're not clearing your limiting beliefs, the manifestation simply cannot come. There's no room for them to come in. There is a block. There is a like disturbance in the field. There's a glitch in the system for you to track the thing. So the only thing that you need to do, well, you don't need to do anything, but the only thing that I want to recommend that you do is become aware of what your limiting beliefs are around relationship, money, love, career, whatever it is. And then when you clear that, you create the space for the manifestation to come in. Again, it's a very simple formula. It's a A plus B equals C formula to attract everything. That's how I've attracted everything in my life. It's actually a joke. It's hilarious how fast it's hilarious how fast it works. Like it works in a day, it works in a moment, it works in an instant. It actually cracks me up. And so I love empowering people and inspiring people, like, you can do this. It's just a belief. It's nothing. It's not a big monster. It's not climbing Mount Everest. It's, we can even use tools like RRT where you're like, this is so much fun, and clear the thing. And at the end of it, just be like, okay, it's on its way. And once you know it's on its way, it can come in literally a moment, an instant.
Oh, yes, so true. Removing the obstacles that stand in the way. And you do this work with clients. So what are the most common limiting beliefs that you see? Because there's got to be some patterns.
Oh, yes. So I mostly work with entrepreneurs. There's a huge fear of success. Huge fear of success. A huge one is also imposter syndrome. Who am I to do this? Who's going to listen to me? And also, I think a lot of us have many, many different money stories. But I, especially in the business space, you know, the only thing that is preventing people from attracting the success that they desire is simply just a disconnect and a disalignment around their money. They have a belief that they feel guilty for earning money. They feel guilty for asking for money. They feel shame around having money. When they get money, they spend it immediately. It's like there's this block of holding on to money. And because we get programmed out of our own self-worth, we learn to put our self-worth on external things. I think especially when we go into business, it's a whole reprogramming of feeling worthy just as you are and not feeling like, you know, you have to work 15 hours a day and grind and hustle to feel deserving of money. That was a big one for me. There's honestly so many. I would say the biggest one, though, especially in entrepreneurship, is the imposter syndrome and fearing success in some way, fearing being seen, fearing if I become successful, then I'm going to lose the people closest to me. There's a lot, but once you clear them, they no longer impact you forever. I really like getting to the root cause of limiting beliefs, because when you get to the root cause, you can clear the root cause. And then it's like having a wound. Sorry, this is disgusting, but like wound with glass in. So either you can just put a Band-Aid over that, but what happens is the glass is still there. So the wound will never heal. And I feel like a lot of us just put Band-Aids over things, ignore it, push it away. It doesn't exist. You know, try to speak affirmations out loud, but until you take away the glass, put on some ointment, and then put the Band-Aid over. And what I mean by that is like actually doing the subconscious programming, getting to the root cause, finding, oh, there's actually glass in there, or, oh, this is actually the belief that's blocking me. And then when you take that away, put the Band-Aid on, it can heal. And no matter how much you hit that wound, it's healed, it's gone. It's like, you no longer can get impacted, so you can't get triggered by the thing. And so when you can't get triggered by it, it doesn't hold power over you anymore. And so you're able to then grow from that place and expand from that place. And actually probably like that will be the thing that projects you the most into the future.
Definitely. Our deepest fears and the things that we overcome often end up revealing our greatest gifts. I definitely see that with myself and my clients for sure. So you've obviously made a full-time business online, as have I. And for anyone listening, do you have any advice if they're listening to this and maybe they're in that era where they're a server and they're building a business on the side? What would be your advice to them right now?
This is the first thing that came to mind, and this is such a subtle difference, but served me so well. In the beginning, I made the distinction that my business was my full-time job. And the side hustle was the server or the part-time job or maybe even the full-time job was my side hustle. So the thing that actually kept the lights on, the things that made me money in the beginning, I literally labeled that as my side hustle, which made it very clear and easy to distinct how I prioritized my time or what I put my energy into or what I put thought towards. Because especially when you have a full-time job, it's easy to let that consume you. But if you can keep coming back to, this is my side hustle, this is a mean to the ends, this is a what I call a bridge job, and dedicate all, if not most of your energy towards your business, the thing that is going to give you the freedom, your passion, your purpose, it helps you reprioritize your life. So if you get home on a Monday, it's like, oh, well, I just worked on my side hustle. Say, now it's time to work on my full-time job. And I think it just helps motivate you more. And I believe you speak things into existence. And so if you keep speaking the fact that this 9-to-5 is your full-time job and I think your side hustle, think about the energetics of that. If you just side hustle, it's on the side, it's small, it's not there. No, speak into existence that this is your full-time job. Like if people met me, they're like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a business owner. I would never even associate with that other job that I was doing. And so it was very easy just to let it go because I didn't identify with it. It didn't have any power over me. It was just always a side thing. And my business was always my full-time thing. And again, with that belief system, I feel like it moved things faster and it moved the needle faster because I believed it already was my full-time job.
I love that. I've never heard that before. So I absolutely love that tip. This has been incredible. So full of juicy insights and information. The final question that I ask is, what is your favorite thing about doing this work?
Oh, so many things. So my whole thing is just being of service. That's what I love to do, is to be of service. And to see people where I was 3 years ago and to be able to help get them to the place that they want to be at a quantum speed, and they don't have to go through all the rigmarole and the struggles and the learning and da-da-da-da-da like I did, I get to be like, I get to show you the way of ease, of joy, of pleasure, and make it easy, make it fast. And to see my clients go from where they were, where they started, to then now living a life beyond their wildest dreams, to see that for people, and it brings me the greatest joy. Like, it actually makes me emotional because I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to be, you know, hating myself, hating life. And I never want anyone to experience that. And to see people transform in front of my eyes, their lifelong dream of like becoming pregnant and manifesting the pregnancy, or when they first started working me, making like $500 a month and now making $50,000 a month. No, actually, I had a client who went from $500 to $80,000 a month. It's like, that is the fucking coolest shit ever. Like, are you kidding me? That is so cool to see my clients win and to be able to make their lives more fuller and more full of fulfillment and joy. Like, I will never get sick of that. That is the coolest thing ever.
That's a good one. That's incredible. And yeah, totally with you. Being of service is amazing. I did have a corporate career. Previously, I had two, and they were soul sucking because I wasn't helping anyone. And it was just like torture. So yeah, helping people and making money. I literally put this on my Instagram stories yesterday. It's insane. It's like, you do it for fun and for free. Oh, and it pays for this house. Oh, and I can pay for everything at the same time. Like, it's just insane. So thank you so much for everything you've shared today. This has been a phenomenal episode. I already know I'm going to be getting messages from people saying that they love it. Where can people find you?
Thank you so much. You've been the most incredible host. I've loved this conversation. You can find me at Marley Rose Harris on TikTok, on Instagram. My website is marleyrose.ca, and I also have a podcast called The Money Mindset Manifestation Show. And the two pathways, if you are looking to work with someone, I do the higher self method, which is a method on how to heal and clear your limiting beliefs, everything that we just talked about today. And then my Freedom Club program is the 12-week roadmap to build your online business that gives you time, location, financial freedom.
Thank you so much, Marley. This has been amazing.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode today, let me know by sharing it to your stories and tagging me on Instagram at IamLizRoberta, which is where I'm usually hanging out between recording podcast episodes. You can download my free business activation there too and see what gorgeous groups I'm running right now, whether it's Spiritual Coaching Academy, Sacred Sisters, or my High Level Elevate Mastermind. And one last thing, remember to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, because I will be back with a new episode next week. So sending lots of love, and I'll see you then.